This What's Working with Cam Marston podcast is brought to you courtesy of First Horizon Bank.
Everyone has aspirations, and often we see them as experiences to be lived sometime down the road. But we say, why wait? Welcome to Bucket Listening, brought to you by First Horizon Bank, where we talk to people who have found a way every day to live their bucket life right now. Hi, I'm Tabitha Scott, a human dynamics expert and the host of this podcast. I hope you'll join me as I sit down with people from all walks of life to learn how their passions, insights, and persistence have helped them turn their bucket list into a beautiful life. This is Bucket Listening, presented by First Horizon.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston, and I'm happy you're here with me. We've got another good show for you today, and I know you may, if you're a regular listener, may get tired of hearing me say that, but the truth is, this one is something that I'm really looking forward to. I'll tell you how it came to be as we get into this introductory segment here. For those of you that are new to What's Working is your radio show slash podcast, and the goal is to give you insights into the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace trends that are shaping the workplace, the workforce, and the marketplace around us. My goal is to find guests that when I talk to them, they'll say something that you can immediately grab onto and apply to your own workplace, your own sales efforts, your own world in some way or other to make you just a little bit better at whatever it is that you do. Again, welcome. Several weeks ago, we had Josh Duplantis on the show. Very thoughtful conversation with Josh. After the show, I said, Josh, where do you get your content? Where do you get a lot of the research that you cite? How do you stay sharp? He pointed me to a company called Lightcast. They've got a web presence, and I Googled them and spent some time on their website, and the blogs on Lightcast are absolutely fantastic. And they really are insightful on workplace and workforce trends. It's a subscription service, and you can hire them as a consultant to gather information. Really impressive. And I reached out to them after surfing that site for a little while and thought maybe they'll reach out, maybe they won't. Well, within 10 minutes, I got a reply, and I think it was the next day, I was on a Zoom call with Elizabeth Crowfoot. She's a senior economist with Lightcast. And she and I talked for a little about what the challenges were that we're trying to address via this show. And I said, I'd love to have you on. I'd love to interview you. Would you be available? And she agreed. And she has sent me a 3-page outline of content that she feels would be helpful to my listeners about key workplace trends and the skills needed, and more importantly than that, how employers are training the skills needed in real time. And I'm not going to say much more than that because I don't want to steal Elizabeth's thunder, but I think we can expect something really thought-provoking today to get a sense of how what the struggles are in finding, hiring, and retaining people, and how those that are doing it well are finding them, what job qualifications they're looking for, how they're evaluating those job qualifications, and then most importantly, how they're training those people based on their predictions of the future. I'm going to give you a snapshot. When Elizabeth and I were on the phone, I said, Elizabeth, does this mean that this is the return of the liberal arts degree, based on what she and I were talking about? And her comment was, yes, but. And we'll get into that yes, but when I get her on the phone, actually a Zoom call, when we come back from break. Where is my note? Here it is. I'm not sure if I said this last week or not, but I want to say it again. If I didn't say it for the first time, welcome to the listeners of FM Talk 93.9 in Auburn, Alabama, WQSI. It has been my hope to find a footprint in Auburn for a while, and I want to thank personally Brooke Myers for reaching out, what, a week, 10 days ago and saying, Cam, we want in. We like your show and we want in. Thank you, Brooke. And listeners of WQSI, I hope we become a regular part of your day, Saturdays at noon. We're going to talk about workplace, workforce, and marketplace trends. I also want to welcome, I think I did say this, First Horizon Bank. They're a new advertiser for us. We're going to talk about the podcast that they're promoting called Bucket Listening. We'll talk about that at the end of the next segment. Bucket Listening is a very motivational, encouraging, inspiring, aspiring podcast. Why wait till you retire to achieve your bucket list? We'll talk about that and how First Horizon can facilitate you achieving your bucket list a little bit early. So, big episode today. Lots of changes going on with What's Working. All very good. New editor out there named Brad Rogers helping me get this show in shape. Looking forward to it. When we come back, Elizabeth Crowfoot, you're listening to What's Working. Thank you. This is going to be a good show. Talk to you in a sec.
This is Seth Cherniak, Vice President of Branch Development for the Jeffrey Mathews Financial Group. If you're an experienced financial advisor wanting the freedom of independence but aren't sure making that jump is right for you, we should talk. Jeffrey Mathews has developed a successful program for advisors who don't want to be 1099 contractors and don't want to pay for their own overhead. We're looking for advisors who want the freedom to run their business the way they see fit, with the support that comes with a W-2 firm. If you're interested in joining one of our branches, or if you want to open your own branch as a full-time employee, let's chat. Our compensation plan is one of the most competitive among all W-2 firms, big or small. Reach out to us today at jeffreymathews.com, connect with me, Seth Cherniak, on LinkedIn, or click the link in the podcast.
Jeffrey Mathews Financial Group, member FINRA, SIPC.
We're back. You're listening to What's Working. Again, thank you for joining us for this episode. This is both a radio show and a podcast. And I say that in advance of this segment because I'm sure many of you are going to want to get to this podcast and share it with friends. You can find that podcast at whatsworkingcam.com. On the other line with me is Elizabeth Crowfoot. She's a senior economist at Lightcast. And I told you in segment one how I found Lightcast. Elizabeth, I'm going to pick and choose from your bio here. 20 years of experience assessing U.S. and global labor market data. She researches businesses' responses to labor and talent shortages and works with global enterprises to address this challenge. She works with companies to identify rising skills and occupations in their markets, build skill-based hiring and training plans, and help business leaders make geolocation decisions. There's more to come on this. Elizabeth, thank you so much for your time. Welcome to What's Working.
Thank you so much for having me, Cam.
So if I understand your bio, you're a native of the northwestern corner of the U.S., but you're currently living outside of Washington, D.C.
That is correct. I am a West Coast girl at heart.
Lightcast is based in Boston, is it not?
Yes, it is.
So a lot of the country represented in this brief conversation of ours, and I've got the outline you sent me. We got so much to get into. Before we do that, Elizabeth, I want to talk to you about my listener. I want to introduce you to my listener so that you'll have a sense of who we're talking to and trying to help. So my listener is an influencer in their workplace. And perhaps you and I talked about this when we were on our call to prepare. He or she has influence in their workplace. If they hear an idea that they like, they have the ability and the responsibility to make a change to benefit the workplace. So as we go through that, let's you and I both keep him or her in mind. And I want to start, if you don't mind, with nearly the last thing you and I said on our preparatory call, which was this. There's no longer a skills shortage. There is both a skills and a labor shortage. Let's begin there. What does that mean?
Right. I think that, you know, even before the pandemic, right, there was a shortage of skills, of talent. There was a tight labor market. And increasingly, that problem, that challenge of employers is being just intensified because of the demographic shifts that we're seeing, right? We have declining fertility rates within the country and across the globe, really. There's also, labor force participation rates are declining as well. So we have a shortage of people, not only skills, but people, physical people, that we do not have enough to fill the roles that are demanded by employers.
I was on with a guy named Josh Duplantis, who is local here. He talked about the demise of males in the workplace, and something that I'm actually going to Bellevue, Washington in about 10 days to give a presentation, and we'll touch on the decline of male participation in the workplace. But let's get into, so it's important to understand that the skills shortage is almost secondary to the labor shortage. We've got fewer people to pull from. And what you and I talked about, Elizabeth, what are the trends influencing those that are hiring, that are finding success? And you listed three of them for me, three key trends defining the skills requested by employers. Let's start there, the tech-driven trends. Tell me about those.
Right. So Lightcast is a labor market analytics firm. So we have access to online job postings and online profiles and also official government data sources. So our data give us a sense of what are the skills that are in demand by employers in the labor market. And our data show that there are three different trends, as you mentioned, that are really driving this demand. In terms of technology, we do see that new technologies and their applications really are driving digital skills in particular. So, obviously ChatGPT is a huge skill that we're, or new emerging technology that we're talking about right now, but also think about other types of AI, machine learning, natural language processing, even cloud computing was also becoming a high in demand skill because of the pandemic and everybody moving online. So all of these cutting edge skills are driving the skills that employers are demanding in the market.
I'm going to already go off track here. How are the employers knowing how the technology can help them and what people with skills they need to benefit from that technology? Does that make sense? If I could say, ChatGPT could help my business, I'm confident of it, here's how it could help my business, now I need this person. How are they drawing the line between ChatGPT being able to help and what that help looks like?
That's a great question. And I think a lot of it has to do with just innovation, right? Within companies. So iterating on different types of projects. And that's when you start to realize, I need this particular skill to achieve the goal that I'm trying to get to, right? What is my endpoint? And it's about identifying those skill gaps. You have a workforce with a certain set of skills. You have a new technology that is emerging. You know how you have a sense of how you want to use it to get a better outcome. And what does that skill gap look like? And how are you going to fill that?
The number two trend you identified was transition-driven skills. I think this one interests me, and I want to also get into and make sure we talk about disruptive skills. That'll be later, but transition-driven trends. Go ahead.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I talk to a lot of executives in HR, especially chief learning officers, for example, and the number one thing they tell me is that they are so surprised by how fast everything is moving in the economy today. And the skills that are needed are evolving so rapidly, and they are having a hard time keeping up and making sure their workforces are keeping up. So one of the skills that are now employers are focusing on are soft skills or human skills. So we talked about digital skills. That was the first sort of trend. And the second trend really is around the impact of human skills in the workplace, and especially leadership. So leadership is what's going to help us sort of navigate this fast moving economy and help us transition from one business cycle to another, or, adapt to pandemics and other, black swan events, for example. So leadership in particular has been really important.
Define that. I mean, there's 1,000 leadership books, 1,000 leadership speakers, 1,000 leadership podcasts, blogs. It means everything. What does it mean?
I'm so glad you asked that, because it's not just run-of-the-mill leadership. it's so much more nuanced than that. It's about enabling collaboration, influencing, leading a digital transformation, leading a culture shift. It's very specific types of leadership that organizations are seeking in order to navigate these different challenges that are being thrown at them.
Are schools teaching this, or is this something you learn through the flames?
That's a great question. And I think that sort of comes around to some of the strategies that employers can use to ensure that the skills that they are seeking are being taught in the classrooms or by educators and trainers. It's really about making those connections between what's taught and what's taught.
Leadership is a good way to transition into the Bucket Listening podcast that I told our listeners about in segment one. Bucket Listening is a new podcast presented by First Horizon Bank. The host is a woman named Tabitha Scott, and I've spoken to Tabitha about Bucket Listening, and it's the comment she made was, why wait until you're retired? Why wait till you can no longer work, growing old, whatever, to begin to pursue your bucket list? And Bucket Listening is interviews with people in the First Horizon network that have begun pursuing their bucket list well before their retirement. First Horizon can help you facilitate that if that's something of interest to you. I encourage you to go find Bucket Listening on your favorite podcast site. You'll find it full of people that have made big decisions to pursue their leadership, to pursue their goals well before the traditional quote-unquote bucket list comes into play. Bucket Listening, you'll find it on your major podcast site. Elizabeth, when we come back from break, I want to go further into the transition-driven tools, leadership, and I'm really, really interested in disruptive skills, what that means. It's a sexy-sounding term. We'll learn more about that when we come back. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. I'm on the line with Elizabeth Crowfoot with Lightcast. We'll be right back. Customer service never goes out of style. In fact, I think it's safe to say that customer service is more valuable and more important now more than ever. Hi, this is Cam Marston. One thing that my over 200 episodes of What's Working has taught me is how important customer service is to building and maintaining a thriving business. It's the growing need for customer service that's led me to partner with one of the state's leading customer service trainers to create our program called Delivering 5-Star Customer Service. Your team will get one 90-minute training session per month for 6 consecutive months. Each session builds on the skills learned the previous month, allowing your customer-facing teams to practice before moving on to the next lesson. And the 6 lessons address everything from appearance to electronic communications to conflict resolution to maintaining a service mindset. Our program travels and is delivered in person at your workplace, nothing virtual. You simply can't practice the level of the skills this course teaches virtually. For more information, email me, cam@cammarston.com, and let's schedule a time to talk. Remember, you have less to fear from outside competition than you do from discourtesy and bad service from inside your own company. Again, email me, cam@cammarston.com, and let's talk about your business. We're back. You're listening to What's Work, and I'm on the line with Elizabeth Crowfoot, senior economist at Lightcast. Folks, go find the Lightcast website full of great content, and I'll tell you how to get in touch with Elizabeth at the end of next segment. I'm going to pull from her bio real quick. Her work has been cited in the Wall Street Journal and other national media. She's appeared as a guest economist on Yahoo Finance and NPR's Marketplace, authored numerous reports and blogs on labor shortages and workforce training and development. All right, more to come on that, Elizabeth. You're overqualified to be on my show. Let's get into pandemic-driven trends. That's the third trend that you identified. Tell me more about those. It seems like every conversation these days must include the pandemic.
Exactly. And, you know, definitely remote work, right, is where what has really shifted because of the pandemic and because of that, skills like virtual collaboration have really bubbled to the top in terms of what employers are looking for. But as we look ahead, it's really more than the pandemic, right? It's about the economic and business trends of the day. So what's going to be disruptive in the future are things like the AI revolution, right? Or the greening of the economy. So what are the types of skills that are going to help employers navigate these, you know, day-to-day, you know, what's the flavor of the day, right, in terms of the challenge? And that's something that we like to call business enabling skills. So we talked about digital or hard skills. We talked about human skills. Business enabling skills are the secret sauce that put together the hard skills and the soft skills to help employers actually address some of these challenges and put skills in action in practical situations. So think about things like communicating data or project management or business operations. Those are the types of skills that employers are looking for to really address these other challenges that are being thrown at them, whether it's supply chain disruptions or inflation or pandemics, you know, whatever have you. These are the types of skills that are going to get you through those challenges.
We had a guest on the show several months ago. He's a professor at the Kellogg School of Business. He talked about workplace culture as being the strategic differentiator going forward. It used to be strategy post-pandemic, and he said it was on its way, but post-pandemic, it's workplace culture. Could we say that workplace culture is a business-enabling skill?
Yes, in terms of, especially when it comes to leadership, right? Being able to drive culture, being able to provide glue within the workforce to make people work better together. That's all part of establishing a culture and making connections within your workforce so that you can address your strategic objectives more effectively.
His comment was culture is a culture of productivity. It's a culture of completion. It's a culture of execution. And it, you know, like I said, it used to be strategy. Now it's culture. And I'm wondering, and I queued this up, Elizabeth, you didn't hear this in the opening comments, but I queued this question up that you and I discussed in our preparatory call. And that is this the return of the liberal arts degree? Is the guy that can quote from Homer suddenly got a place in the business world in the future? Is the woman who studied art history, does she suddenly have a place in the business world due to her diversity of education and background versus a siloed skill?
I would definitely have to agree with that. I think employers are pushing for those softer skills, right? Communication and leadership and problem solving and creativity that are really pushed forward in the liberal arts education. And, you know, we work with both educators and employers within, you know, our portfolio to sort of make those connections happen better, to connect those dots. So yes, I think that is really somewhere where we're going to see educators really put more emphasis on.
So you can't come into the workplace with a background in Caravaggio's and expect to immediately find a purpose in the workplace. You've got to have some sort of business skills, but that training may have that your parents slapped their forehead and said, "You're doing what?" Now may have some sort of future. I'm glad to hear that as a liberal arts guy. I graduated from college with the capability of saying, "Would you like fries with that?" And that's about all. But so I'm trying to find a way for myself forward. Disruptive skills, business implication number one to the outline you sent is disruptive skills. I mean, that's a catchy expression. What does that mean?
Right. So disruptive skills are skills that we are projecting to grow very quickly in the future and that are really expensive to hire on the market. So these are the skills that within an organization you want to focus on in terms of upskilling and reskilling your workers, because it's going to be really expensive to go out and hire this particular skill. Think about Python, for example, is one highly disruptive skill. Cybersecurity is another one that's really hard to come by these days. So if you do focus on building internally these disruptive skills, you're going to have a more robust workforce, and it's going to be more cost effective.
Your note here says hire for, I can't find it in front of me, but hire for 80% of what you want. If you can find somebody with 80% of what they want, be grateful and choose to train the other 20%. Could you expand on that?
Yeah, that's definitely one of the strategies that employers can use when they're trying to think about what is sort of the baseline experience or education that they need, right? Think about what are the core skills that are actually required to do the job, and then lower education requirements or certification requirements, work experience requirements, and then train that additional piece, right? If you're hiring for 80% of what you want, you can just upskill or train that additional 20% to get to where you want to be. So you're not looking for the perfect candidate, right? You're really screening for potential and aptitude and ability to learn.
And that's a result of the labor shortage.
Yes, exactly.
The labor shortage says you're not going to find you're very unlikely to find your perfect candidate. Find a close fit and take that remaining 20% onto your own shoulders. Train that remaining 20%. My suspicion, though, Elizabeth, is let's say you find that 80%, you train that remaining 20%. With the rapid pace of change, that quote-unquote newly perfected employee is still going to need to be upskilled in a short amount of time.
Yes, and that's why onboarding is so important.
Ooh, please continue.
I feel like I've talked to so many employers that, you know, have the new employee manual, and then they give the employee the code to the bathroom down the hall, and that's basically the onboarding that they do. But it's so important to have more of a robust program that includes, you know, what is your product? What is your customer? How are you combining the tools that you have and the communication to really meet those two, right? Your product and your customers and selling and giving new hires all the context that they need in order to be as productive and successful in their jobs. And that also goes back to the culture fit, right? Teaching them about the culture, teaching them about the strategy, all of that goes into place. And I have to give the example at Lightcast because we have a 6-week onboarding training program
that really helps
our new hires understand the business. And then they have subject matter experts like myself come in and give them more context around the labor market and just the dynamics of the economy to, again, help them understand where they sit in the organization and what they're trying to achieve. So it's just a very holistic onboarding program that I think other organizations could really learn from as well.
I've seen in my time in working in the workplace, working with the workforce, discussing the workforce, et cetera, the increasing value of the onboarding process. Mm-hmm. And it is my hypothesis. I don't have this data. I don't know that it exists, but it's my hypothesis that particularly a young person knows within the first half a day of whether this is a long-term employment opportunity for them or not. Can you quickly react to that?
Yeah. And actually, I have to go back to my own experience as well, because on my very first day of the job at Lightcast, my boss said to me, you know, I'm glad you're here. Think about the other steps that you want to take. If there are other parts of the organization that you are interested in, let me know. So it's also about focusing on internal mobility to get that upskilling.
Elizabeth Crowfoot is a senior economist at Lightcast. We'll talk more when we come back from break. We're talking about workplace trends. You're listening to What's Working. I'm Cam Marston. We'll be right back.
This is Seth Cherniak, Vice President of Branch Development for the Jeffrey Mathews Financial Group. If you're an experienced financial advisor wanting the freedom of independence but aren't sure making that jump is right for you, we should talk. Jeffrey Mathews has developed a successful program for advisors who don't want to be 1099 contractors and don't want to pay for their own overhead. We're looking for advisors who want the freedom to run their business the way they see fit, with the support that comes with a W-2 firm. If you're interested in joining one of our branches, or if you want to open your own branch as a full-time employee, let's chat. Our compensation plan is one of the most competitive among all W-2 firms, big or small. Reach out to us today at jeffreymathews.com, connect with me, Seth Cherniak, on LinkedIn, or click the link in the podcast.
Jeffrey Mathews Financial Group. Member FINRA, SIPC.
And we're back. You're listening to What's Working. Thanks again for joining us. Elizabeth Crowfoot is on the other side of a Zoom call from me. She's a senior economist at Lightcast. I keep wanting to say Lightfoot. I've been listening to Gordon Lightfoot lately, and every time I say the word light, I add foot behind it. He passed away not long ago. I'm doing a tribute to him in my car. More information than anyone wants to know. Elizabeth holds an MA in economics from American University and a BA in political science and economics from the University of Washington in Seattle, which I'll be heading in about 10 days, actually, to Bellevue. I hadn't been out in your neck of the woods in a while. Elizabeth, before we get into these segment four questions that have become so popular, is there something else that my listeners need to know about trends in the workplace, trends in the workforce? Again, these people are influencers, and if you tell them something that they can grasp and really wrap their arms around, they're going to take it and run with it. Is there something else?
Yeah, I mean, when we think about upskilling and training, I think on-the-job training is, you know, usually what people go to, but internal mobility, right? Making sure that workers have different options and career paths within your organization and giving them the tools that they need to achieve that type of trajectory. So, you know, one thing that we do at Lightcast is helping organizations develop career paths, right? What does the entry level position look like? And what are the different steps to get to more senior level positions from that particular starting point? Also, just having the ability to tell your workforce, you know, this is sort of the range of opportunities that you can see within our organization. It's not just a linear progression. It's really a web or a network of choose your own adventure within my company type of career. So we can, you know, draw those type of connections by looking at skill adjacencies within starting points and then other endpoints within the organization. And then you can close those skill gaps through internal training programs.
Choose your own adventure within the company. That's mm-hmm. funny. So folks, my next interview is with Panini Pete. Those from South Alabama may know the name. He is famous for pulling people into his restaurant organization and helping them do career mapping. You think you come into a business and a restaurant and it's relatively a limited scope, but he's famous for pulling people in and helping them with their career. And as a result, his retention is very high. His turnover is low compared to similar organizations. And he will be in the studio with me talking specifically about how he does that in his restaurant. So what Elizabeth is talking about here, we're going to go into the weeds with Pete, Panini Pete, here in a week or so. So, Elizabeth, I have to tell you, I love economists. I find them fascinating. I find the way that you think and gather and organize information fascinating. One of the favorite guests of the show is a guy named Peter Ricchiuti out of Tulane University. We put him on a regular basis to talk about the economy, and he is actually both an interesting and fun economist, which is typically a conflict of terminology. You are the second person that I found that is both an interesting and fun economist.
Oh, thank you.
Which cues up our segment four questions that I sent you in advance so we can get to know you a little bit. And we'll touch on some of these. We probably won't get to them all. Elizabeth Crowfoot, what is your favorite business book?
I have to sort of make a play on this one because I'm a podcast junkie.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I am religiously listening to Marketplace with Kai Ryssdal. So cannot recommend that enough for your business listener to just get labor market information and just that basic macro view of the economy.
Is that also because you've been quoted on Marketplace or have appeared as a guest on Marketplace?
I have, but this was after the fact that I, you know, was a fan of it. But yes, it just happens to be that as well.
Yeah, I'm familiar with Kai Ryssdal. I'm familiar with Marketplace. Number two, what one trend in the marketplace excites you about your business?
This is going to be so trite, but, you know, the impact of AI in the labor market and just the different skills that we're seeing, how job architecture within companies is shifting, all of that is going to be fascinating to research and dig into.
Is there reason for us as a species to be worried about AI? Is it going to eliminate us?
Oh no. I think it's going to open opportunity, right? It's just going to shift the specific tasks that we do so that we are focused on what we do best, what humans do best and what machines can't do.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's opportunity. There's a lot of people ringing death bells about there, and I think, yeah, you're wrong. You're wrong. All right, number three, what one trend in the marketplace worries you?
Ironically, it's the same thing that you just said.
Oh, yeah?
AI, you know, because, you know, you, as a person, you can't help but think, oh, am I going to be able to keep up with this? You know, I'm also like the oldest millennial on the planet. So can I keep up with Gen Z and the way that they're able to sort of navigate these technologies more easily than I can? So it's definitely something that's in the back of my mind.
I have this radio show and podcast, and I wonder, what am I missing? What is AI going to do to me? And you think it's a traditional form of media. It's, you know, it's going to last forever. Don't you worry too much about it. But there are a lot of people out of work who thought the same thing. I go to the buggy whip story, right? Once the car was invented, the people who made buggy whips to whip the horses continued to make buggy whips, and they tried to install them in cars. Like, that's a story. It's a great business story that a lot of speakers cite about becoming irrelevant. All right, number four, biggest business mistake you've ever made.
Again, on a personal level, and you know, focus on labor markets, is leaving a great boss. When I know you thought you were looking for greener pasture. So, and this was years ago, so not my current position, but I think it's so true that people leave bosses and not positions. And I made the mistake of leaving a great boss.
So is it right to say, since so much of what we've talked about in this interview is the leadership of the individuals, mm-hmm. is the need for the greater boss going to rise even more than it already is?
Especially with among Gen Z, right? These are our individuals who are much more keyed in on, you know, what is the vision of the organization, the leadership, the trajectory, what is the goal? So yeah, that first line, frontline manager is going to be so key in communicating that aspect of the organization and retaining, especially younger generations.
I didn't have the courage to ask you when you said it, but what does the greening of the economy mean? And is that in relation to, can we relate that to Gen Z as I think we might can?
Yeah, I think so. So the greening of the economy refers to the types of jobs that are going to be in demand in the future. Those jobs around sustainability, even, you know, installing solar panels, right? Solar panel installers, our wind turbine engineers, you know, all of those new jobs associated with green technologies. Yeah.
Do you see ESG becoming a big influencer in whether people take jobs or not?
Again, that sort of social aspect, governance, yes, of organizations that just goes down to culture, right? And also the objectives and the vision of the company. And is that aligned with personal objectives and vision? And I think younger generations put more emphasis on that when they're looking for a job.
We're going to jump ahead on the questions here, mm-hmm. Elizabeth. Some that get to that I find interesting. It's Saturday afternoon. It's 4 p.m. What are you most likely to be doing?
I have two young children, so I'm probably at some six-year-old birthday party at Chuck E. Cheese or some similar venue. This last weekend, it was mini golf. Monster mini golf.
Yeah, the Chuck E. Cheese, a way to get mm-hmm. kids used to Vegas at an early age. Your favorite vacation destination, and then I'll ask you, how can people find you?
I have to say the Vidanta Resort in Puerto Vallarta, Mexico.
Nice.
It's mini paradise for me and my family.
How do people find you, Elizabeth?
Definitely reach out on LinkedIn, search for me, Elizabeth Crowfoot, like the bird, like the foot, but no W, so C-R-O-F-O-O-T.
I am connected with her on LinkedIn, folks. I will link her LinkedIn profile in the show notes on the podcast. You can find that at whatsworkingcam.com. Elizabeth, we didn't touch the tip of the iceberg in this topic. There's a lot more to come. Would you join me again at some point?
Would love to. Would really like to continue the conversation.
Yeah, because I think there's a lot of meat left on the bone, as they say in my neck of the woods here. Elizabeth Crowfoot, everyone. Thank you, Elizabeth. She's a senior economist at Lightcast. Find them online. Find her link in the show notes and reach out to her if you're interested in what more they can do for you. You're listening to What's Working. We'll be back after this with segment five. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
making the largest investment choice in most families' financial portfolio, you need a realtor who truly understands the market and can negotiate favorable terms and conditions. I'm Angelo DiPaola, the Coastal Connection with eXp Realty, the preferred real estate advisor for buying or selling along the Gulf Coast. For full access to the MLS in Mobile, Baldwin County, Pensacola, Destin, or Panama City, just Google Angelo DiPaola, the Coastal Connection.
Thank you, Elizabeth. Elizabeth Crowfoot, senior economist at Lightcast, folks. Find her on LinkedIn. Check the show notes where you'll find a link to her and want you to do so. I also want you to go to Lightcast, look at their blogs if this type of stuff interests you. If you're out there saying, what are the trends? What do I need to do? How do I remain competitive in the workplace? What they study is economies and workplaces all over the world. They can drill deep into your corner of the world if you wish. It's a consulting arrangement, and I think you can reach out to Elizabeth herself through LinkedIn to get more specific information on that. Oh, by the way, you're listening to What's Working. We're back. I'm Cam Marston. Focusing on workplace, workforce, and marketplace trends, Elizabeth sent me 3 pages of notes here that I have in front of me, spread out across the desk. And when I say we didn't touch the tip of the iceberg, what I mean is we didn't touch the tip. Not we only touched the tip. We didn't touch the tip. There's a lot there, and I think I've learned in, if I'm going to call Elizabeth back and ask her to be on the show again, one specific question that she and I can go deep into with some very specific tactics on getting into that question. This phrase that she used that I like so much, mainly because it's kind of thrilling and frightening at the same time, is disruptive skills. What she said, and I want you to think about this, high cost to hire, and it's easier to train them than to hire them. They're rare. Finding them to hire is difficult. So you groom them. You take them into your workplace. These are disruptive skills that others are going to want to hire from you if you create them. Therefore, you hire 80% of what you need, like she said. You train the final 20%, you get them up to speed, and at that point, you do become vulnerable to turnover, just like every workforce out there. However, the remedy, and it's easy for me to say, the remedy to that turnover is often workplace culture. And we've been talking about, and when I say we, both this show and people that talk about workplace trends have been talking about the power of culture. And I begin to see it more and more and more. In fact, I've been invited to give a presentation in a couple of weeks to a local hospital system that is taking a deep dive into their own workplace culture. What is it? How do we measure it? How do we get it to where we need it? Because finding and hiring and keeping so many of these staff is difficult. Maybe we can create the retention tool from within, being the workplace culture. And let's begin by training our staff, our leadership, the people who have influence, the huge influence over that culture. So we're going to continue to hear more about this. I think some themes that we'll hear forever on what's working are going to be, number one, the impact of the pandemic on business. Number two, workplace culture. Number three, what are the needs of this next generation of employee and how do I provide it to them? And honestly, I can say, I'm not really sure we're quite clear 100% on what the needs of the next generation will be. Gen Z is still very young. A lot of their attitudes are yet to come out of them in their workplace choices. Anyway, so much more on that. Find us at whatsworkingcam.com. You can email me from that site. Tell me what you think. Give me some ideas. We'll have another show next week. Have a good week, everybody. Thanks for listening. As you likely know, this show originates as a radio show broadcast across the state of Alabama, and it continues to grow in both radio listeners and market. After it's formatted for radio, we then turn it into this podcast. Please share it with those you think would find it interesting and subscribe to the podcast on my YouTube page where you can leave messages and your thoughts and your comments, and I'll certainly get back in touch. Finally, if you're a fan of the show, please offer a review on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You can find my book called What Works on Amazon.com. In it, I highlight the top 10 ideas from the first 200 episodes of the show. Mind you, they're not the top 10 best episodes. They're the top 10 best ideas. Many times the same ideas are brought up again and again by different guests, and we dig into those ideas in such a way that they'll be easily applicable for your business. Simply go to Amazon and enter my name, and you'll find What Works as well as my other books. Chapter titles include How to Find a Niche, Innovation, Building Teams, and so forth. To learn more about the workshops and seminars I offer, go to cammarston.com. There you can view clips of my work, view workshop titles, view my reviews, case studies, customer lists. It's all there. If you'd like a free copy of one of the chapters of my book, enter your email address at the bottom of the homepage at cammarston.com. And from that site, you can email me directly. I always love to hear from you. You'll also find me on social media. Find Cam Marston on all the social media platforms, and you may need to enter the numeral one. There's one other Cam Marston out there, and that numeral one distinguishes me from him from time to time. So if you're unsure if it's me or not, enter that numeral one after my name, and it should do the trick. On a more personal and less professional side, I record weekly commentaries that air across Alabama on Alabama Public Radio twice each day on Fridays called Keeping It Real. They've won statewide and national awards. They're simple observations on the world as it goes on around me, and they're only a few minutes long. They're a passion. You can find them on the same podcast app you're using to listen into this. Finally, if you're interested in advertising on this podcast or the radio show, reach out. I've worked hard to cultivate a specific listener, and I can tell you all about them, and I have many different options for helping you reach them. Thanks again for listening. We'll have another episode available soon.